Welcome to Canada Conversations, part of Delaware Debates 2020, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne. This conversation focuses on the race for U.S. Senate, and we are joined by Libertarian candidate Nadine Frost. Nadine, thank you for joining us on Canada Conversations.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
So let's start with what prompted you to run for U.S. Senate this election cycle.
Their names are Ariana and Emma, and they're age 6 and 2. And they are the center of my universe, and I want to make sure that my universe is still in solid shape when they grow up.
What should voters know about you and your qualifications that perhaps they don't either already know or could find out by looking at your website or doing a Google search of you, something that, that perhaps would give them a little insight into you as a person?
Well, I'm an overachiever. At present, I'm working 3 different jobs, self-employed in all of them. When I was running a bookstore that served the University of Delaware for about a decade, I like to tell everybody that I took $100,000 in a hole in a wall, and I took on the largest campus retailer in the nation, and in an market that everyone said was an absolute failure, and in 3 years I had 40% market share because I just flat out can overwork anyone. And like I said, I'm an overachiever.
So let's talk about some issues. First off, probably the most obvious issue would be the coronavirus pandemic. And I guess the question we're asking is, how do you feel the federal government, specifically Congress, has done in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic? And if there's no vaccines or readily available treatments for the virus by the end of the year, what would you want Congress to prioritize in an ongoing response if you were elected?
Well, first of all, health and or public health belongs to the states under their police power. It really isn't the purview of the federal government. It would be appropriate, since they run the CDC and the National Institutes for Health, to provide guidelines and guidance to the states, but the actual decisions should be left up to the states because that is the way the Constitution states it. There's no provision in the Constitution for the federal government to essentially run people's health. That comes under the police powers, the powers reserved to the states and the people. So I can't really comment on how they've dealt with it other than to say they probably shouldn't have stuck their nose in quite as far as they did. But they really haven't had much of a presence anyway. So to that extent, I think they've been staying mostly within the lines. As far as a vaccine goes, at the point that we have a vaccine for the common cold, which is a coronavirus, then I will believe they will be able to provide a vaccine for this particular version of the coronavirus. But since in 10,000 years we haven't managed to come up with a vaccine for the common cold, I think what we need to really start thinking about is how we are going to function without one, because it's not likely to occur.
So let's talk a little bit about the economic piece of this, because clearly the pandemic has thrown the country into a recession with high levels of unemployment. Is there a role for Congress to play in getting the economy back on track, especially if the pandemic lingers into 2021?
Again, I don't think this is really Congress's sphere. I don't think that politicians in general can have any serious effect on the economy, especially in the positive. They can do a lot of stupid things that have negative consequences, but and many of the consequences we're seeing now actually date back decades to things that were done by Congress under some other circumstance, vastly different from this one, which is now having a negative impact on what we can do now under a different set of issues. I like to say that, unfortunately, when it comes to regulations, laws, rules, et cetera, invariably, like suicide, they are permanent solutions to temporary problems. Because once they pass it, it stays on the books even long after the foundation for why they were passed existed. And since what happened 40 years ago can't anticipate what's happening now, what they did 40 years ago is now becoming a roadblock to what we can do now. I think the best thing that Congress can do is just start going through the entire U.S. code and with a giant Sharpie and saying, this is out, this is out, this is out, this is out. Let's get out of the way of the people and the states and the locals, the local governments to pull themselves up on their own feet instead of providing them with so many roadblocks that are keeping them from going forward. For example, a lot of the FDA regulations that we have right now were actually designed in such a way that they promote large-scale industrial food processing. Well, those large-scale industrial food processing operations are breaking down, and the smaller local places that could pick up the slack can't because the federal regulations are standing in their way.
I want to move into the issue of racial equity. The country, as we all know, has seen protests throughout the spring and summer focused on issues surrounding racial equity. The topics of debate on that have kind of run the gamut from removing monuments and renaming sports teams to police reform and addressing racial disparities in areas such as housing or education. Do you believe Congress has a role here in addressing some of these issues? And if so, what?
Well, I do believe that Congress addressed some of these issues with the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments to the Constitution. I think they addressed more of those issues with the Equal Rights Act of 1964. So they put into place what they as a federal government can do. Most of what we're talking about now are local issues. Not every police department in the country is problematic. There are some local police departments that may be problematic, and there are definitely members of those police departments that are problematic. But Washington doesn't have the power to hire and fire local police officers. That's a local issue. If the local governments aren't addressing it, then that's where we should be looking to for resolution. Not the federal government, because, again, not within their purview. The United States Senate can't go to Wilmington and say, okay, here are the rules that we want you to put into place for what you do with your police officers. They can't do that other than the general, Bill of Rights, sort of civil rights. These are the things that we have to concentrate on. This is what they have under their control. But when it comes down to individual officers and individual police department policies, that's not something that Congress can really touch. So if we need improvement, it's going to have to be on a local level. What I think the Senate should be doing, again, is providing guidance. But there's not anything that they can really do in a positive manner other than, once again, write rules and regulations that may be, one, ineffective, and two, may boomerang back and cause more problems in the future. It's just something that should be handled on a local basis.
The pandemic and protests have pushed a lot of other issues that we likely would have been talking about during this election cycle, things like healthcare, immigration, climate change to the side. Is there any issue, those or others, that you feel needs to be addressed with urgency by the next Congress?
Oh, definitely. Education. Because of the pandemic and all other issues, the schools which were less than beneficial to begin with, are now in a state of total chaos. And again, they're having issues with being able to address things like the pandemic, because a lot of what they deal with comes straight from the federal Department of Education. They've been given these top-down directives that, again, were designed for something else, some other time, under other circumstances, which is now making it difficult for the local schools to respond to the issues that they have now. If I had my druthers, the department, the federal Department of Education would just disappear. That's not going to happen, but it definitely needs to be scaled back. And again, provide some guidance, but they shouldn't be telling the local schools what they can and cannot do, because a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. doesn't know what a school district in Ottumwa, Iowa needs any more than they know what a district in Atlanta, Georgia needs, any more than they know what a district in San Diego, California needs. They're all different. They all have different needs. They all have different situations, but they're all being told that this one-size-fits-none system is the way they have to go. And that is definitely something that Congress can address, because that is a federal problem that is crushing the local students.
What's the biggest foreign policy issue facing the country, and what, if anything, should Congress be doing to address it?
Our biggest foreign policy issue, which has been in place since probably around 1947, is meddling in other people's lives. And every time the federal government gets involved in somebody else's politics or somebody else's society, or it comes back to bite us on the ass. For example, we decided that we wanted to get Russia, the Soviet Union, out of Afghanistan. So we trained and supplied freedom fighters. And they did eventually, the USSR did eventually pull out of Afghanistan, and those freedom fighters then turned around and flew some airplanes into the World Trade Center, because now they were in power and we put them there. Every time we get involved in somebody else's politics or somebody else's society, eventually it comes back to bite us on the ass. And on top of that, we're spending fortune to be the world's police force. We're having problems with our local police forces, but we're now the global police force. Again, that this is not something that we should be involved in. If there is a legitimate emergency situation wherein someone invites us in, maybe we should think about it. But we should not have American servicemen and women living 24/7, 365 on other people's soil just because. And I think the first thing we need to do foreign policy wise is let everyone, allies, enemies, whoever, know that we're not going to be supporting their wars anymore.
I want to ask you a Senate specific question. That is, should the Senate consider doing away with the filibuster? Why or why not?
Oh, but the filibuster is so much fun. No, we should not do away with it. It has a purpose. The Senate was always supposed to be the deliberative body. The House of Representatives is just that, a House of Representatives. They have been and should be immediately responsible to their local constituents. The way the Senate was originally set up was that they were there to represent the states as opposed to the individual groups of people. That, of course, was changed. And so senators tend to be more more along the lines of representatives themselves, but they are also still, again, supposed to be the deliberative body. They're there to put the brakes on, because otherwise policy is going to change on a daily basis. Congressmen change their minds as fast as they change their underwear, because it all depends on where they're getting the phone calls or the emails or whatever. This group today is upset, and they go after their congressman, and the congressman throws out a bill, and it's pushed through, you know, the House of Representatives. Now it's got to go to the Senate. Okay. Well, 24 hours after that, the other side of the argument starts ramping up, and the next thing you know, you've got this exact same congressman putting in a bill that says the exact opposite. And if it's already gone through the Senate and already gone to the president, now the second half of that drama is going to have more issues to it, because now Congress is going to look partisan towards one group as opposed to another group. So they basically angered half their population. The purpose of the Senate is to make sure that, or one of the purposes of the Senate is to make sure that we aren't doing fly-by-night legislation. And part of the purpose of the filibuster is to give everybody time to stop, think, research, determine if what's in front of them really is something necessary, or if it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem that is going to cause a lot more issues farther down the road. So definitely the filibuster needs to stay.
And finally, is there an issue we haven't discussed that you feel isn't getting the attention it deserves in this election cycle? And what would you like to do to address it if elected?
Veterans. They seem to have been pushed to the side. And they're dying by suicide at the same rate they've been dying by suicide for decades. The VA system has not improved in one iota, regardless of the scandals that showed up, 4 or 5 years ago, and still aren't being addressed. These are men and women that were willing to put their lives on the line for every one of us, and yet they can't get someone to give them the time of day. And as far as I'm concerned, the VA is one of the most corrupt, mismanaged organizations ever on the face of the earth. And while politicians seem to give some lip service to it when it rears its ugly head, immediately it goes right back to business as usual, and our veterans are suffering because of it. And so that is definitely something that needs to be addressed. I've also put forth a plan concerning the responsiveness of Congress, in that the way our system is right now is based on an 18th century model, which was that everybody went to one place to get together and discuss the issues of the day, determine the necessary legislation, and then they were supposed to go home. But they don't anymore. They become permanent residents of Washington, D.C. And that's not necessary. In the 21st century, our representatives and senators should not leave their home districts except for maybe 2 or 3 weeks a year. And they shouldn't have to. We're in the 21st century. Why are our senators and our representatives living 24/7, 365 in Washington, D.C. instead of Moose Jaw, Montana, or in our case, say, Smyrna, Delaware? No. And once that happens, they cease to be representatives of whatever district they came from, and they become representatives of the Washington, D.C. Beltway system. And this is a problem for everyone. My plan, one of the first pieces of legislation that I intend to introduce, is essentially to send Congress home. Let's do our business electronically like everybody else in America is doing and has been doing since this coronavirus thing started. My company that I'm an insurance broker, and my parent company, which is based out of North Carolina, has been doing Zoom meetings for 2 years. And we have like 5,000 agents across the country in all 50 states, and we get together two or three times a week to discuss issues that we need to do. The Libertarian Party had their entire national convention online back in May. Not only were we able to discuss and vote on policy issues for the party itself, we managed to elect a presidential and a vice presidential candidate, and we did it all in a single weekend with everybody doing it from their living rooms. And this is something we need to see in Congress. We need to break the beltway and put our representatives back in their districts so that they can be accessible to the people they're supposed to be representing, as opposed to the people who live in D.C., whom they are now representing.
Nadine Frost, Libertarian candidate for U.S. Senate, we thank you for your time on Candidate Conversations.
Why, thank you so much for your time. You have a great day.
Thank you. You can find all of our Candidate Conversations online at DelawarePublic.org and DelawareDebates.org. Candidate Conversations are part of Delaware Debates 2020, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne. Thanks for listening.